brand new music by Huge Large, a band out of the San Francisco Bay Area. We heard the song Motivator. And right now on the line, I've got Bob Malta, who's half of Huge Large. Bob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks. It's where I'm half of the trio.
Yes, you are a two-man power trio. How does that work?
Well, you know how it works is that there's a local DJ, Big Dave. He has a show called the Rockabilly Roadhouse, but he obviously plays far and wide his styles of music, and he's the one that kind of coined it because I think it surprises people. Me and Matt aren't huge guys, and we use very little gear on stage. We're usually set up in front of the next band that has a lot of gear. Matt plays one drum standing. I play a little amp, but everybody's kind of shocked that we sound bigger.
You guys are definitely larger than life. Now, did that inspire did that inspire the band name at all? Huge Large? I love that name.
You know, I don't know. Matt just came up with it. It could have been because we played for quite a while before we played out. You know, a friend came by and just said, "Hey, you know what? I'm putting on a show, and I'd love you guys to play out." We had no desire really to play out. We were just getting together to socialize, like a lot of bands do, just to have fun. We're music lovers.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you became Huge Large. How did that start? Was it with that request that Huge Large became an entity?
Yeah, where we started playing out. It kind of took off fast after we booked the show, and we're older guys. There were, you know, real young punk bands. And we tore it up, and bands started asking us to play.
Wow.
With them. Yeah.
That's quite...
It was fun.
So your reputation precedes you. Now, I've heard it's been said that you guys are like the worst-kept secret in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, we tried to stay a secret, but like I just said, we have bands started asking us to be on their bills. I think most of the shows we've ever played, we've been asked to play.
Wow, what kind
we
of bands?
Play, pardon me?
Oh, what kind of bands? Like who's had you on the bill?
Well, we've played with every type of band. We've opened for the Super Suckers out of Seattle, and we've opened for Blowfly. It's a dirty rapper, kind of a famous character. And we've opened for James McMurtry.
Wow.
Kind of country. So we've opened for all sorts of bands. Different, and audiences generally like us. You know, we're pretty all over the place. Our music isn't country like James McMurtry or dirty rap like Blowfly.
No.
Probably a lot closer to the Super Suckers.
Interesting. Yeah, and you somehow fit in with everybody you've played with. I mean, that takes some doing, I would think.
Well, we play mostly covers, and we pick good ones, I think. The audience responds to the music, really. You know, the song itself.
Yeah.
Not really the style, so to speak.
Now, that's a good point.
Yeah. And I think you're a music lover. Isn't that true? I've always said that when people say, look what kind of music you like, and I say, all kinds of music, you know. I could tell you... music I don't like a certain style, like let's say contemporary country or something like that. But if you tied me to a chair and you played it nonstop 24 hours to torture me, I bet I'd find a song where I go, I like that song because
that's a good,
you know,
point.
Good melody or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's all in context, I would think.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? Don't you think that too?
I totally agree. You know, I've always maintained that there's some bands who I don't really care for, but there's always at least one song I like. And, you know, not to diss anybody too much, but I'm not a huge Pink Floyd fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the Floyd, but I sure love the song Money. I will listen to that anytime, any day.
That's a really popular one.
Yeah. Yep. And there's a lot of examples of that. And same with the genres, too. I'm not a big rap fan, but boy, there are sure some songs I will, you know, listen to, and I've even played on my show.
Yeah, I'm a bass player. You know, that's my main instrument. So, yeah, if it's got a good bass and a great groove, I might like it.
Absolutely. So go ahead and tell us who the personnel are in this two-man power trio.
Well, it's me, and I play guitar and sing, and then there's Matt Norelli, a super good drummer and good friend, and he plays drums, and he plays a cocktail set, which is, if people aren't familiar with it, in the olden days of jazz combos and stuff and house parties, there wouldn't be room for a full drum set. And so they play standing up. It's very limited. You know, it's just like one drum. The kick pedal is not to get too technical, but it's reverse, and you have to stand there, and it comes up from under the drum.
Ah.
Couple cymbals. But he can really rock it. It was kind of fun when we put it together. I had said, hey, Matt, let's play music, you know? And he goes, oh, I don't feel like carting my drums around. I said, well, you know, how about a cocktail set? We went looking, and he found it. And at the same time, he said, well, who'll play guitar? And I said, I'll play guitar. And after he got done laughing, I said, you know, I'll kind of figure out that instrument while you're figuring out how to rock out while you're standing up.
I love it. And, you know, that's very punk to, you know, just say, I'm going to learn this instrument, and then you just learn this instrument to serve the
yeah.
songs you're going to play.
Yeah. Well, I'd played guitar, but I'm not really aware of a ton of chords or, you know. I played with Matt for a long time as a bass. We were a rhythm section to a band in San Francisco, an early 90s called Pop Up Blowtorch. So we really know each other's feel.
Got it.
And so it was easy. I sort of play guitar like a bass.
Okay. Very rhythmically?
Well, my right hand's probably my better hand, my chord hand. No, basically, like, I use my top string or bottom string, you know, the low string, as kind of my guide. I'm playing in open tuning.
Ah.
So you can, too. Everybody listening can play in open tuning. You tune it to a chord, and you strum your guitar, and it's a chord without putting your hand anywhere.
Oh, cool. So even a guy like me can get started. I'm not a musician.
Yes, indeed. Everybody could. You know, but there's a lot of really great songs in open tuning. A lot of the Stones intros, fabulous intros, Gimme Shelter, and I just keep, you know, Midnight Rambler. Any of these songs are played in open G.
I had no idea. That is so cool. So you don't have to worry so much about the left hand. You have to just kind of figure out what to do with the right hand.
Well, those songs, as simple as I just said that, those songs I just said are, there's a rhythmic feel, and the left hand is important. The chord shapes. You still make chords.
Okay.
But if you just put, you know, your finger across a fret, that's a chord.
Wow, you know, I think you've just broken a barrier for me. I'm going to definitely try this now.
Well, I think you should try it. It's fun. There's lots of records done in it. I had just read a Tommy James book.
Hmm.
He talked about the early days. He was signed to a label that was run by a gangster. And Tommy had said that, you know, all the songs he wrote, those hits from the 60s, he did it in open tuning.
Interesting.
He was kind of lazy to learn chord shapes.
Interesting. And obviously it did very well for him. And, you know,
yeah.
The other thing that's been kind of, you know, as a guy who's tried to play guitar a couple times, I think the thing that's gotten in the way is, you know, you pick up a music book and it's all these old songs that are like kids' songs or they're old folk songs from 100 years ago
yeah.
that I have no interest
no.
in. I think if
don't use those books.
Yeah. I think if I pick
listen
up.
Listen to your favorite song.
Yeah, if I picked up the songs that you guys play, I think maybe I'd be a better guitarist because I'd be more interested.
I think you could play them.
Interesting. Okay, I'm in.
Okay.
I'm chatting with Bob Malta from Huge Large. So when did you guys form the band Huge Large?
It was 2005.
Oh, it's been a while.
We've been together for a while. Yeah.
Okay. So what motivated you to finally get some of your great songs recorded?
Well, we recorded over time with a really good friend of mine, like an old friend of mine, is a recording engineer, quite popular, well-known, and we're just pals. So whenever he was in the studio and he was working on a Sunday or something, he'd say, hey, come on, he'd call me, go, come on down, I have a few hours. So that record was done over three sessions. Pretty really quick sessions, you know, like five songs in a session.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty laid back, though. I mean, it sounds like you two and he all get along really well, so it sounds like it just...
Yeah, really well. It's totally comfortable. I mean, a lot of your musician friends will say that. It's kind of when the light goes on, you get a little tense, you know, no matter how relaxed you are, you know, once the tape gets rolling or whatever. But when you're all really close and comfortable, you're completely comfortable, that doesn't really happen.
Interesting. You know, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You've got the chemistry already.
Yep. We're well rehearsed when we go into the studio, too, so... We don't take a lot. There's nothing on that album. I think we did over two takes.
Wow. Now, are these pretty much the songs you've played live for the last 10 years?
Yeah, those are some of our favorite songs we play live. We have a pretty big set list, but those were... And we saved some for... I sent you one, actually, one that didn't make the record. We saved some for another record.
Oh, nice.
You know, we have some originals, too.
Good. I was going to ask you about that. I'm looking forward to hearing what the originals sound like. I know there's one on this album. What kind of style do you guys write in when you do originals?
Same type. Okay. Same type. You know, like DOG, the original on this one was just, that came about. We put it on the record. We call that the theme to Huge Large. Matt had a dog, a big old boxer who was pretty deaf, and he just, when we headed to the garage, he had to be with us. And he'd sleep right under Matt's drum, you know, which would be loud, but he couldn't hear.
Oh, wow.
And his name was DOG. And so we wrote a song for him, and it became our theme song. It's kind of the song we open with most of the time.
I could totally hear it. You know, it reminds me a little bit of maybe Peter Gunn or something like that.
Yeah. Well, actually, under Motivator, I'm playing Peter Gunn. I double-track the guitar, and I'm playing.
Really?
I'm playing Peter Gunn. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, put on headphones, you can hear it in the left channel.
I'll listen closely for that. So, you know, why don't we take a quick break and play DOG? You know, it's a quick little song. You know, when I listen to the song, though, I very much imagine myself driving through a big city late at night in that big old Ford you have pictured on the inside of the album.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love that picture. When we came up with it, we were kind of looking like a Quentin Tarantino soundtrack, you know, a car taking off on a dusty road, a mission, you know. I don't know, that was the vibe we had. But it was kind of behind Doji the dog, who was big and muscular, but, you know, friendly.
Well, let's listen to the muscular sound of Doji. We'll be right back in 1 minute,
thanks.
18 seconds. Here's Huge Large. That's DOG, a.k.a. the theme song for Huge Large. I'm chatting with Bob Malta from Huge Large. And, you know, you guys really are larger than life. You're two men. And, you know, I can only think of a couple other parallels. I'm sure you know a lot more. But I think of, when I think of sparse, stripped-down bands with big sounds, I think of somebody like the Violent Femmes. They were like an acoustic punk band.
Yeah, I love that band. Definitely. Well, the bass was super important playing lots of the melody.
Yeah.
In that band. Yeah, that's a great band.
And you guys, not that you sound like them, but you kind of give me the same idea that, you know, you can do a lot with a little.
Yeah, Jonathan Richman does that. And one of the original bands, of course, a lot of old black duos in the old days, the blues guys, they would just do it because, well, I don't know why, but a lot of them you'd see stripped down bands before the no bass player became popular. For us, the no bass player was, and I played bass all over that record, actually.
Yeah.
So, but I keep it just to fatten it up a little. Don't really need that live because we have a little, you know, the overtones of the open tuning and the buzziness and the whole vibe.
Interesting. Yeah, you have to be more resourceful when it's just two of you, so it sounds like it's got a fuller sound that way.
Yeah, the band, the Flat Duo Jets, out of Athens, and it's Dex Rom Weber. Have you ever heard his music?
No, although I have heard of the band.
Yeah, he's playing with his sister now, and he's just great, super unpretentious, just a music lover, plays all styles. Flat Duo Jets started with a bass player, and then he left, and then they became a duo. And I think, you know, Jack White, a lot of people mention him as an influence in that band. Mm-hmm.
I could see that, you know, just, you know, I think you're probably going to be crafty and maybe a little more clever when you have fewer musicians supporting you.
Yeah, well, when it's just the two of us, it's kind of fun. You know, we kind of like No Excess Baggage.
Yeah.
Try to keep it as a lot of holes in the music, although I do play with a lot of fuzz, so, you know, that kind of covers a lot of the holes.
That would, absolutely.
It'd be a big Band-Aid.
That's a pretty good way of putting it. On another note, it's been said, I've heard that you guys have a craft beer named after you. What's the story behind that?
We do. You know, Vinny at the Russian River Brewery here in town, he's sort of a rock star brewer. You know, the craft beer thing has really taken off.
Huh.
But generally, he has a beer called Pliny the Elder that gets voted consistently as like one of the best beers in the world, maybe 6 or 7 years in a row.
I've heard of that one.
People stand in line. They don't really ship it out. So we have a song called Vinny's Beer we did for him. But, you know, he stopped us one day where we played at the brewery a bunch, and he likes us a lot. And he stopped me one day while I was walking through, and he said, hey, he said, Bob, he goes, you know, I'm thinking about making a Pilsner. I don't make any light beers, but I want them, you know, Pilsner's thought of as like light and not real heavy. And, you know, you guys, you know, he said, you must be wet, you know, 120 pounds dripping wet. He goes, you guys look light, and your appearance, your gear and stuff, but you sound big. I'd like to make a Pilsner that tastes big, and I'd like to name it after you. So he's done it. Maybe he's had 5 releases. He does it every couple years. It's a blast when he does it. It's actually, it's on tap right now. He just released it 2 weeks ago.
And what's the name of the beer called?
It's called Huge Large Sound Check, spelled like Czechoslovakian Pilsner. Yeah. And usually when he releases it, he has these little German beer boots with our logo on it, the drum and guitar, and or Pilsner glasses. It's great. It's a big party when he releases it.
That's pretty fantastic.
We played it a couple weeks ago.
Does it taste good?
This one's the best one so far. He's getting really good at it now. But it's just, when he first made it, me and Matt thought, maybe we should just stop playing out now. Maybe we should split up. We've kind of hit the pinnacle for a band that plays out of a garage to have a beer named after us. So
I would say,
especially from Vinny.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty awesome honor. A guy that brews Pliny the Elder has named one after you. I mean, I've had musicians on the show who, you know, have Wikipedia entries, or I've met ones that have toured the world, but you are the first one who I've ever met who's had a beer named after their band, so that is definitely a new level.
Yeah, I think one interview we did, somebody asked us about the beer, and they said, there's two other bands, and one of them, I think Guided by Voices, has a beer named after them.
Okay.
I don't know about it or anything. I think that was one of them. And maybe the other one was, Iron Maiden. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, if you drink enough of it, you might be guided by voices anyway.
That's true. That's a band I love. I love that band.
Awesome. So. Awesome. Hey, I'm chatting with Bob Maltz of Huge Large. I can't believe our time on the radio is almost over. Where can my listeners find out more about you and the music of Huge Large?
Well, we have a Facebook page, and then we have a webpage, and that's hugelarge.com. And you can find out where you can find us, what we're up to.
Awesome. Any live gigs coming up right away?
We don't have anything right now. We're working on a couple. It's another thing about us. We don't play a lot of shows.
Hmm.
So if we're around, catch us if you can. I like to play in Sacramento. I've played in
Old Ironsides.
Yeah, played there a couple times with other bands.
Oh, I would love to see you play there. That would be awesome. And I know a guy who knows a guy, so maybe we can get something together.
That would be fun. That would be a blast.
Drive that big old fat Ford up there with your equipment in the trunk, and we could do this thing.
Well, we can fit our gear in just one little car.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Bob Maltz, thank you so much for your time on the radio. It's been a blast chatting with you.
Hey, thank you, Mike. I enjoy your show, and I really appreciate the time.
Oh, my pleasure. What song would you like to hear as we head on out of the interview here?
Oh, you pick it.
Okay, I'll pick my
anything,
favorite.
You know.
Okay, I'll do my favorite. Sometimes good guys don't wear white. Thanks, Bob.
I like that one.
All right, stay on the line. I'll be right back.